I'll be your living.
Amen.
You every offer you.
Sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary.
That's your desire.
Pure and holy.
Just remember, if that's your desire, then God will make a way.
True. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary before you.
Amen and amen. Just to be a sanctuary. That's your desire. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, just turn back where we've been reading in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, and then we'll read from Matthew 17. I know you've already heard the announcements and everything. Brother Richard's doing real well and everything. He's up and walking and everything else and doing real good. So just keep praying for him that everything will be all right. And all he should maybe come home by Friday. And so he's doing really excellent. And also remember now, the fellowship meeting will be this coming weekend. So remember, 3:30. And Brother Richard Wilson will be here with us for the fellowship meeting and also for the weekend preaching. So just remember that and just pray for them that the Lord would help them. They're in the final stages now. I didn't talk to him today, but the other day I talked with him, and they're in the final stages of getting everything done for the buying of the church. And they had hit kind of a couple of little snags, but everything should be worked out by now to where that they... they've bought their church, so that's wonderful. We appreciate the Lord doing that. Amen. 2 Peter 1 and Matthew 17. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things. And we know that you said in your word that you give them to us freely. And it's without money or without price. So we don't have to depend upon anything tonight that we could do, or anything that we have done that would make you come among us tonight. It's because that you promised us. Lord, then we stand upon that and we believe it. And we walk in the light of your love and just believe you and just thank you, Father, for all things. Have your way. Just bring Richard on out of this, Lord, and back to us and make everything well because we believe you. And just touch him, Lord, and touch Brother Ray there, Lord. The doctors that keep trying to find this and that and the other can't find it, but yet we believe you. And we thank you for what the doctors do, but yet we know who the healer is. We love you and we thank you. Just have your way tonight in our hearts and lives and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Peter, we've read this for quite a while, and maybe the Lord willing we'll finish up next weekend at least, or sometime next week or something on this. So let's just start with the fifth verse. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like that ninth verse. A lot of people think that throws a problem, but it doesn't. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. All right, if you lack these things, if you lack all of these things, you're blind.
That's right.
Because you're not born again.
Right.
Because you don't have faith, you don't have virtue, you don't have knowledge. But see, if you got any one of these, then you don't like that one, so this is not who it's being that's speaking to you. And you can go on down and say that the entrance has been ministered unto you. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, be certain, definite. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, Matthew 17. Most of you know immediately where we're heading then. Trying to with tonight's service. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been on the stature of a perfect man and covering this, and I received another thing after starting on the stature of a perfect man to speak on adoption. So, to me, the stature of a perfect man is adoption. You know, that's what it is. That's the way it's being described. So it's not that adoption is one thing, the stature of a perfect man is something else. Like I told you that man years ago said, oh, that adoption is simple, that stature of a perfect man, now that's deep. Well, see, he didn't have understanding of the fact that it was the same thing being spoken of. So we've got into the position of speaking on the stature of a perfect man, and we spoke there Sunday on God's love. And I thought, well, it'd be a good place now to just preach a message on the stature of a perfect man and putting it with adoption and just saying the same and just title this message, be number 14, but just title it Adoption. And we'll talk about it to see. Because what have we found out? Now, what is the stature of a perfect man? It is not you and I. It is the stature of Jesus Christ. Stature, not statue. See? All right, of Jesus Christ in you and I. Now, it's got to be in someone, all right? And by being in someone, then, why can't we believe we're the people? Because if we're not the people, surely we're, if we have the new birth, surely we're somewhere in the kingdom of God, and an entrance, the Bible said, has been made for us, so you know, why not just believe who we are? And like I was trying to explain Sunday afternoon there, see, we look at things, you know, and try to figure out and try to make it something too much that we can't attain unto. But don't make it so easily that you just fall into it either. You know, well, I just born with this, you know. Well, I was born 68 years ago. But it took 68 years to get me where I am. See, I wasn't this big then, you know, and that's just plain sense. See, all right, and see, in the spiritual kingdom, that's why did I say it like I do and believe it, that the disciples were taught 3.5 years by the Lord Jesus. When the Holy Ghost fell on them, it gave them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there where you see it on the pyramid above brotherly kindness, and the prophet would call that. On one occasion, called it the true baptism. Not meaning false and true, but meaning partial to perfect. All right? And Sunday we were talking about that, how that when you receive the new birth, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We believe it. But you say, well then, you know, I've come all this way, the prophet said, and still ain't required to be perfect, or still don't have the Holy Ghost, or something like that. See? What's he saying? You don't have it in its fullness. When I was 10 years old or 2 years old, I had all the parts that I have, but they were not into maturity that could be used in my natural body. So is it with a spiritual body? The way was lost down through the dark ages of the faith of the fathers, as we talk about. And the prophet, it took him 30-something years to preach that to a position that he could preach the stature of a perfect man. Now, he's the one that said that. I didn't. But see, then in doing all of that, then he brought the, that message to us. And then he went on, and God revealed to him the seals and the great things after the opening of the seals. But he had to go on off the scene. And then it would be left up to the bride to fulfill that he spoke of. And he's in the grave now waiting, and I've told you what I believe. I believe he's in the ground, and he's waiting on you and I to bring him forth. And all of these return ministries, I've always just told them, say, hey, if you talk about a return ministry, I'm not going to argue with you about what you're talking about. I'm just going to tell you, you got to get the prophet up. No, brother, he's coming up and then he's going to bring us. Well, now, that would make something pretty powerful. I'd rather depend on the Lord Jesus myself now, and I'm not fussing with nobody or nothing. I'd just rather depend on the Lord Jesus to bring me to the position. And see, that's why they don't teach anything about this. They don't teach adoption. They don't teach the stature of a perfect man, the seals, the 70 weeks of Daniel, marriage and divorce, the thing. They won't teach about it. They won't even talk about it. But, oh, we don't have to have them things. Well, why did the prophet preach it? How did you get where you're at? That's all I've ever asked anybody. If you're sitting out here 40 foot up in the air and there's nothing underneath you, I want to know how you got out there. Because if I've got to get out there, I don't think I can jump that high. So I want to know how you got there. And that's as honest as I can be. I've never tried to be arrogant or hateful, just truthful. I want to know. And see, and in doing that, then the Lord revealed that the opening of the Word, now the revealed Word, not just because you read it, just because you read the message. You could read the message and have a photographic memory that you could remember every word you read of the message. That wouldn't bring you the knowledge that's in the stature of a perfect man. Because that's Holy Ghost knowledge, which is revealed word. I'd rather be standing with one thing revealed to me and knowing that's the Holy Ghost revelation than to have all the head knowledge in the world. But now there's a truth to it that we got to depend on. You cannot get a revelation, cannot, without it first coming head knowledge. How? How would you get it? See, you would annul all the Scripture, faith cometh by hearing, and then you would do away with all of the Scriptures. And what the prophet said, you'd just sit back and wait on the bus to come. All right? But see, now church, we're just trying our best to get to a place. So, now listen, as we finished up talking about charity, I know Brother Dick went back and checked some of the things. How many of you considered what I was talking about, that the word love in the Old Testament was not the word of love in the New Testament? And in no way did it compare with the word charity. Alright? Because even all the way through the Old Testament of love, that it was still dealing with maybe a higher form than what we think of filio. You know, because it goes on into loving God and things and comes out to the word companion from the Old Testament. But then when it enters the New Testament, when it's speaking of the love of God now in the New Testament, it comes out to be the same definition as the word charity does of 2 Peter, where it says add to your, you know, brotherly kindness, add charity. It's the same definition. All right. So now we've talked about then from partial to perfect realization.
Right.
All right. So the new birth brings you what? The love of God in the form of a baby. You know, boy, people don't like you talk like that. See, baby form of God. Well, he was a baby.
Right.
That's why you River Jordan people can't stand for you to say that. But the prophet said, what about your God with no teeth? Laying in a cradle. He didn't have no problem talking like that. Why should we? Why should we have any problems admitting the fact that the day we got born again, that didn't put us in the headstone? It don't matter what age you're in. It didn't put you there. Because you didn't grow up as a human body that way all at once. All right. See, you got to have the growth development. And growth development requires food. All right. And the prophet, he couldn't go out, you know. You remember the tax case that they got against him and everything? The Holy Spirit said, go back to the tabernacle and store up food. All right. Thank God for the stored up food. It's Brother Brown's message that's going to bring us to there, because the messenger of Malachi 4 is going to do two things, right? That's in the church age book, two things. One, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Father. Two, reveal the thunders, which is revelation contained in the seven seals. And it'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn us back.
Right.
So he had to go on and preach the message all the way, lay it in our laps, and then leave it to us. In 40 years, we've been studying it. You know, all right? Waiting for something to happen. Not a bus to pull up, but getting ready. How would it be if you would say, you know, this is the way most people, most preachers preach, that about 1900, you know, you remember, who was it? When was the first flight? Anyhow, you remember the brother? Was it Brother Cross or Brother Claude? One time somebody was preaching here and told us about it, you know, that the man got up in the church and made a prophecy that way back, you know, that one day they'd fly around off the earth. Well, this man got up, and boy, he stormed out, and you know, this is false stuff. I'm getting away from this stuff, you know. And he picked up his two boys, and it was Oliver and Wilbur Wright, and walked out of the church, and you know, they were the two guys that finally wound up with the airplane. All right. But now my point is this: what if you said to them that day, said, "Okay, you know how to make an airplane? You flew 200 and something feet, I think was what it was." It was just a small thing, but they still flew. What if you said, okay, now tomorrow we're going to the moon? Now, come on. But that's the way preachers preach. If I got the Holy Ghost, I've got everything. You know, I've got everything. Well, go flying. Head to the moon. No, it took many, many years and a lot of sacrifice to finally place a man on the moon. Right. Right. But listen, that, the prophet said, a type of interplanetary travel was the type of the rapture. All right. Now, see, then, to get back to what I'm trying to say, the stature of a perfect man. We've been through talking about how to receive these virtues is by the opening of the Word. The revealing of the Word, not the studying of the Word. But if you don't study the Word, how can God reveal the Word?
Right.
That's not hateful, that's just plain sense.
Right.
Well, Brother Dale, we don't go by sense, we go by revelation. Well, where's your revelation at? Tell me how you got there. Well, I just jumped up and there I landed, up in the headstone. You know, I just born in this age, what a lot of people say. That's a bad age to be born in, really. But now listen. See, from the new birth of faith, we must eat the Word until we grow up into the stature of Jesus Christ, right? All right. Now that's the same thing as adoption is, because that's what adoption is. Now God does not adopt the devil's children. Alright, so then the new birth is only the spirit of adoption in Romans 8. Alright, because you're not adopted at the new birth. I'm talking about it faith now, so come on, stay with me where I'm at. Faith, the new birth, you're not adopted at that place. You're brought into the family, yes. Sure. You're brought into the family for every benefit that goes with it. We'll get to it in a minute. You get a checkbook when you, I gave you some quotes on it, you know. You get a checkbook when you get born again. And that checkbook is already signed down at the bottom. Got Jesus' name written on the bottom of it. Any benefit you need, you just sign it. And that's fine. Because we believe that. But see, then the adoption comes like the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, to the point of hear ye him. Because in his example of us, example now, not that he needed a new birth, but he had a River Jordan experience. And when he did, said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." It stopped. But then when it comes to Mount of Transfiguration, it says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him." All right. He growed into the position to be planted there or placed there. And that's the way we must do. And that's what the stature of a perfect man is. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. What are you doing? The prophet said on adoption that he gave us a tutor. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said the greatest tutor he could give. He said because it would not be a tutor given that would try to make a good name for themselves. Or to be a tutor that would say, "Well, if I do good with this man's son, you know, I'll get a living the rest of my life and I'll be really taken care of." He said, "No." He said he gave us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said then the Holy Ghost would not tell something different than what we are. Brother Dean, I remember what it, the message, why, where we were talking about years ago on the message there, why, that Brother Branham was saying your children are still cutting their girls, women are cutting their hair, their etc. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not going to lie. It's not going to lie where you and I are at. We may lie, but it's not going to lie. All right. So then the prophet said, God gave you the greatest thing to be given, which was the tutor. Now the tutor is the raiser. And it's the spirit of adoption, according to Romans 8. All right. Whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." But see, then we must let that Spirit tutor us up the stature of a perfect man. And see, that's the same thing. Adoption, stature of a perfect man, that's what it's talking about. The tutor is raising us. See, to bring us to the place to whether or not we can be trusted. And that's why that most of the children back there, the Old Testament laws was the fact that it did not the son never come into the position to where he could be trusted. And by not doing that, he never received the adoption. But yet he was a child, the prophet said. Sure. When you're born again, you're a child of God. That's what makes you a child of God. We're a child of the devil, according to the book of Ruth and things. You know that we had a closer kinsman, which was the devil, and God had to pay the price to redeem us. And in doing that, he had to come and live in us. Well, that new birth makes us the children of God. That's how we become sons and daughters of God. But see, people are saying, "But I always was a son of God." Now, that's by representation of God's predestination that we've been through before and covered. Not that it's talking about that you were born with this and born with that. No. See, then you would do away with faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. You'd do away with the day of Pentecost when Peter had to preach a message. Why didn't the Holy Ghost just fall on everybody in the world? It'd been given, right? The Holy Ghost had been poured out, hadn't it? But now did the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost fall on Paul? No. A little time later, right? Why? It only fell on those that was ordained for it to fall on. In the upper room of the 120 and then 3,000 outside after they heard the message. Not that they just come into the world with everything. Like I was talking to Brother yesterday about it. I said, did Jesus come here with us in him or did we come here with him in us? All right, we know we didn't come here with him and us because that'd make us eternal sinners. And that wouldn't fit nowhere. But when he came, we was in him. But what was in him? It was not my body. It was not my spirit. It's the eternal life that I now have of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that I received in 1969 in Athens, Georgia, the new birth. Then that always was eternal. What? The new birth always was eternal. Then there's only one eternal soul. There's only one form of Zoe, God's own life. And that's when He gave you His life by the new birth. And that's where that there in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, see, that was the one seed to go with Galatians, what is it, 3:16, and unto thy seed, which is Christ. Well, Brother Dale, I believe what the prophet said. He said we come here with a seed in us. Where was it at? Well, I don't know. Well, what was it? Well, I don't know. I just believe prophet. Judas went and hung himself. You go do likewise. That's not being hateful. That's quoting Scripture. But see, that's where we need a revelation. Alright. So then the new birth is faith. You can only be born again by faith. You're not born again because of a head knowledge. You're not born again as a concept or a thought. It's the person of Jesus Christ coming and living in you. Peter already had the thought. He was doing pretty good. He had the thought that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that didn't give him the birth. He had to go to the upper room and wait for that to be quickened unto him. Alright. See, then God does not adopt the devil's children. So He must bring us into the family. Right? We must get into the family. Then He can adopt His children. But all children won't do the will of the Father. Some lack of understanding. You know, some from lack of understanding, not having the understanding. They don't know that it's required. It's like Richard had been in the message a long time, you know. My son-in-law, and he told me, he said, I didn't know Brother Rand said we had to have these virtues. Well, what was wrong with the pastor where he had been at? I asked a sister one time about a certain brother. I said, what does he believe on the soul? And she'd been in his church for years and years and years. She said, I don't know. I said, well, boy, that's, you know, I mean, surely you ought to know a little bit about something, you know, after a few years, you know. I mean, you come here a few years and you don't know very much. It's because you slept. Huh? And that's not being arrogant. That's not being bragging. It's just the truth. It's just like when I get through with these few things, I want to take a series on marriage and divorce. Why? Because we've got some young people coming along that needs to know the truth. Well, I don't need to know truth about it. I just accept. You can't accept something you don't know what it is. I've contended that all around, all over the world, to hear marriage and divorce. But Brother Dale, I don't want my church to hear it because if they hear it, they'll probably bust the church. Well, I'd rather have a busted church with a handful of people going into rapture than have everybody got to die and go by the grave and nobody make it at that moment of change. Because at least if you hear it, you can make a choice. God ain't never made all kind of things like we talk about. He's made a way. But now listen, see. But I do that because we have new ones coming along. But see, then our kids can't say nothing. They can't say they hadn't been told about marriage and divorce. They can't say they hadn't been told what the truth is of it. See, because they've heard it. All right. But now, get back to the message. See? The new birth. I want you to understand this. The new birth brings to you the love of God. And that love of God in the new birth is the same word as charity. With the same definition as charity. But it is not used in that form in the Old Testament. Why? Because no one in the Old Testament could receive the new birth. Because Jesus Christ hadn't died. You'd be surprised how many preachers don't know that. Oh, they had the Holy Ghost back there, and we got the Holy Ghost here, and we got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, the prophet said you can have it every day of your life and die and go to hell. Alright. But listen. What's the difference between the cornerstone, which is love, the new birth? Now the cornerstone, let me state this exactly where to be correctly, and then the people on the tapes will understand. The cornerstone is the faith of the fathers. It is not just, say, the birth that you receive at faith. The cornerstone is this entire pyramid up to where it says Holy Spirit and not where it says love up to top. That is the cornerstone. Because the cornerstone, we're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. All right. Now, like Brother Dick said, it struck him the other day, Acts 2:38, that's the cornerstone. That's exactly right. Because Acts 2:38 requires the revelation of one God. The one God is the cornerstone. But you see, for you to be born again does not put you to the cornerstone. It puts you in the body of Christ. In the love of God. You must grow into the cornerstone or the revelation of the fathers. We talk about the faith of the fathers, the revelation of the fathers. All right. See then, but when we grow up in Him to the stature of a perfect man, to where the disciples were, there's the faith of the fathers. That's the cornerstone that the church is built on. But that cornerstone is love. But that new birth you receive is love. The love of God that comes in you by the new birth. But it's love not in the form of another word. You don't need another word. Because the new birth is just as perfect can be. It's the love of God is the new birth. But it is not the capstone. It is not the cornerstone. But it's the word love. So go back in the Bible and see how many times the word love is used in the New Testament. And see how many times, was it 24, is that the right one? Any other that I gave the other day, how many times the word charity? Might be 34. It's 24, 34 or something. I gave it last week. 24, okay. 24 times the word charity is used in the New Testament. And Paul would say, without charity, you're nothing.
Right.
See? Now, he could not have been saying without the, you know, if you don't have the headstone, you're nothing. Well, don't stutter too much because it'd make me stutter. He could not have been saying, without the headstone, you're nothing. But this is the way he was saying it. If someone don't receive the headstone, you and I are going to be found to be false prophets. And so will everybody in the pyramid from the day of Pentecost up will be proven to be false if someone doesn't reach the charity headstone for us to walk out of here in a rapture. That's where people don't like me, because that's plain and blunt. That's not playing with words. I'm not kidding. I'm plain. Not arrogant. Plain. That's a fact. Because they without us cannot be made perfect. The Bible says it. It ain't sitting around waiting on a bus to pull up and the rapture is going to take place. Somebody's going to receive a rapturing grace and a rapturing revelation. But it'll only be when the headstone is on the body. Now, not on just an individual. I've preached that to you for many years. I got into trouble 30 years ago trying to preach that a person could have a headstone and die. Other people said it was not. I can call her names. They said, no, you can't have the headstone and die. Brother Branham did. All right. Case is solved, but people won't listen to that. They just turn you off. I ain't listening to that. I believe it my way. Well, go right ahead. It's not going to change me. And I'm not trying to change you. But I'm trying to preach the truth to a church to get us to a place to not just sit down lazily and shiftless to be nothing, but for us to strive, pray, seek God. In a time when most people are not wanting to pray, when it's hard to pray. But pray anyway. Get serious about this thing. This is not playing church. It's a reality. If somebody don't come to that place, if the whole body of Christ don't come to that place that the prophet spoke of, then we're all in trouble. You remember Sunday when I was trying to bring that out about, and Brother Brown standing there said, I got him out on a limb. Well, see, that's what John said on the Isle of Patmos. He said, if a lamb don't come forth, and that man had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the faith of the fathers sitting there on the original day of Pentecost experience in the upper room, and he was still crying for a lamb to come. And he said, if he don't come, we're lost. It's time to be desperate about our own selves. Where that we cry out, God, come and help us. We've been given the word. But what are we doing with it? Do we know more about the world than we do the message? But you know what I've never understood, folks, and I'm sorry. I'm a human, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the statement I'm fixing to make. But why would you be hated for knowing the message? Why would you be called a smart aleck for knowing the message? I don't understand that. I mean, that comes into my heart and deep. Why would you do that? To be thrown off on, ridiculed about knowing the message. Why? Why not? But listen, go on. See? But listen, now I read you these Sunday. I want to just reread a couple of them because I want to tie that together then over, and I won't ask you to try to find it in your notes. I'll just read it to you. This is off of page 47, Statue of a Perfect Man. Now, in building the virtue, building this monument, building this stature, see, it starts off and the foundation starts on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what's it to do? Now, look at the pyramid while I'm reading this. You just look at the pyramid and look what the prophet is saying while I'm reading what he's saying here. Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love. Now listen, and he controls, and he is the strength of every one of these things. Yes, sir. Right in here, and see, I got in between all these works on here, and here there's little waves coming. That's Sister Shepherd's dream, you know the story. What is that? Now, he didn't tell it here in the Statue of Perfect Man about Sister Shepherd's dream. He told that on Blasphemous Names, but you know what he's talking about. Little ways coming. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ. The Holy Ghost, which is love, coming down through Christ. See? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this. The Holy Spirit is above all of this. Welding this together. Building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. It's been done again. It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church messengers. Now that couldn't be any, I mean, what would you want to be any plainer than what he just said? What is the love of God? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost love, coming down through Christ, Holy Spirit, welding all this together. How many Holy Spirits you got? Well, how many did the prophet have? The Bible says, One faith, one Lord, one baptism. All right? But the same Bible says there's seven spirits. Right? But the seven spirits is one Holy Spirit through seven manifestations. Is that what your prophet taught? Right? How much more simple could it be? Is that deep? Page 48. And these fellers wasn't required what these fellers was. This wasn't required what this was. See, up and down. Right? See? But he brought his church up the same way. He brought his church up the same way. He's bringing his people up. Then Peter here says, first, seven things. Faith, virtue, see, coming on up. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and brotherly kindness, and then the love of God. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. You're looking straight at the pyramid. The love of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth you received, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, the love of God. That was down at the bottom of the pyramid. And there's no difference in the definition of the word. The only thing that you're doing, because there's no difference between the cornerstone and the headstone except for one thing. The headstone has within it all that is within the cornerstone. But the cornerstone doesn't have all within it that is in the headstone. Right? The cornerstone is the faith of the fathers. But they didn't have the headstone, so the headstone is not in the faith of the fathers. But once the head unites with the body, all that's within the body is within the head, because the DNA of the feet is the same as the DNA of the head. So it's the love of God all the way up. But it's growing in that love. I like what Terrence says about it. It's a pretty good point. He didn't say it exactly this way, but I won't give his definition. But see, most of the time you marry for lust. Now I know you're not going to agree with me. You're not going to agree with me. I know that. That don't make no difference. It's still the truth. You didn't know what love was when you married at 16. I was 18. My wife was 16. We didn't know what love was. You didn't either. I don't care if you're 45. When you got married, you didn't know what love was. Come on. Just be honest. No, I married my wife, Brother Dale, because I fell, the first time I seen her, I fell in love with her. No. The chemical analysis of your body begin to work. And it was in a form of close to the word love. But it started with a lust. See, I just tell it like it is. That's the reason people don't like me. Because, see, they want to run it so big, you know. They want to make it look so good in front of a congregation, you know. I fell in love with my wife. When I first seen her, it was love at first sight. Well, now, if it was love at first sight, why after 20 years did it die? Now, tell me that. Don't play with me. I don't play with you. You say 20 years later, me and my wife just fell out of love. Now, there's no such thing. Your lust run out. And you wanted another wife to have some lust over. Brother Dale, you're just too plain. I agree with you. But there's one thing about it. You don't have to wonder what I'm talking about. Because you know it's the truth. I see you learn to love. You learn to love. Sometimes it takes 50 years to learn. If you don't love your wife 10 years after you married her more than you did the day you married her, it was lust you married her for. Now, I wasn't saying that 20, 40 years later everybody looked young. I'm just plain, right? My wife don't like for me to say this, but the older she gets, she doesn't look like she did when she was 16. But she wants me to tell her she looks like that, and I think she looks beautiful for 66 years old. I do. I'm honest. I look around at people. You ever run into somebody that you used to go to school with? You look at them. I got you beat, buddy. I don't have to look in the mirror to see that. Right? You look at them and you say, ugliness. It goes all the way to the bone, don't it? But now listen. See, love. Love covers a multitude of sin. The word love for the new birth is the same word as the headstone for charity. But it's according to where it's at and what it's used. Because the word cornerstone and the word headstone is the same stone, because it's the same thing, except for one being a deeper revelation. That's what I was trying to explain Sunday about the old corn of the land and the manna, that the manna ceased when they entered to the land of Canaan and ate the old corn. The old corn was a deeper revelation of the Word of God. And that's exactly what the headstone is, a deeper revelation. But see, the headstone hadn't come until the prophet came and brought it. Come on. Zerubbabel, we'll get back to it when we was preaching on it. Zerubbabel that laid the foundation also brought on the headstone. But he didn't bring on the cornerstone. How many knows that's a quote? Zerubbabel never brought on the cornerstone. The cornerstone was the Lord Jesus Christ. God brought the cornerstone. All Zerubbabel had done was just went back to the cornerstone, laid it off, and brought everything in order for the headstone to come. We'll get to those things. But listen. Then, Brother Dale, what are you talking about? I'm talking about adoption. God don't adopt the devil's children. He adopts his own children. So he had to bring us into the body before he could start anything on the form of adoption. The prophet said that's where you Pentecostals made your mistake. He said, being born again and the gifts and the things, you thought you had everything. And he said, you latter rain, brethren. That was the one, you latter rain, brethren. But he said, you're wrong. He said, and it is like he says in the church age book, how could the headstone have come when the word had not been sown yet? See, how could those latter rain brethren be in right of saying, this is the end, this is the headstone, when the word hadn't been sown yet? Brother Branham hadn't come and brought the message. Well, see, when he come and brought the message, was the message, listen now, wording, listen to the wording, was the message Brother Branham brought after the seals any different than what he was bringing before the seals? If you think it was, there's something wrong with you mentally. Let alone spiritually. Well, he didn't understand. I didn't say that. I said it wasn't no different. Don't make the cornerstone the revelation of some kind of a God, and then Brother Branham, you know, come out and one God, and then Brother Branham come out, you think, and preach the River Jordan and come up with a two-ness idea or something. It can only be deeper revelation of the same God. Just as the word love. The new birth is love, and the headstone is a deeper understanding of the word love. Adoption. When he can adopt you into the family, it's just a deeper understanding. I gave you the quotes, you read them. They're on the message out there, the internet, where they can read them. The prophet said, when you were born again, you got a checkbook. He said, in Jesus' name was signed at the bottom. He said, anything you needed, you just write it out. Now, what's the difference in that when he come to adoption? He said, when the son come to be tutored by the tutor to the position, said the father then could give the son the signet. The son could sign the check, in other words. He could fill out what he wanted and sign the check. Back then it was a stamp of a ring. The child was given the ring as a sign. A signet that he had the authority to use that. And the prophet said everything the father had stood behind it. You remember a few weeks ago when I tried to preach about the message of speaking the word? You'll see that it all ties in together if you just listened. Or go back now and listen to it. Where the word, thus saith the Lord, is not in the New Testament. Find it for me. Thus saith the Lord is not written in the New Testament. Because when it started on the day of Pentecost, Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, thus saith the Lord. No, didn't say that. Said, silver and gold have I none, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Paul said, you'll be judged by, thus saith the Lord. No, he didn't say that. He said, you'll be both judged by my gospel. Find thus saith the Lord in the New Testament. Come on, that's out there. Crank it on. But Brother Branham spoke, thus saith the Lord. He sure did. Because the Son of Man was saying, thus saith the Lord. He had to show the office and what it was. But he was having to do restoration. Go back in his early ministry when he spoke the word. Go back in his early ministry when he would stand on the deep calls of the deep, 20th century prophet 1. Even the picture of it when the little girl walked across there. What did he say? He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He said, take that child to the doctor and check it, said it's healed. It's wonderfully healed, a little child with great faith. He was speaking the word all the way down through there. But it entered a stage greater than the things that he had spoken. We talk about how that to speak the word is greater than thus saith the Lord. Well, what about the New Testament? Never started on thus saith the Lord. It started with speaking the word. But you see how many people are going to believe that. Alright? Go back to what I read Sunday and you think that Brother Dale's getting arrogant and hateful about things, but go back and read your scripture. How do you do the works of God? What did Jesus say how to do the works of God? Believe on them that God sent. Alright then. It's put into our lives. But the Holy Ghost coming down through Christ's Holy Spirit, welding it all together. Justification made way for sanctification. I'm quoting Brother Brown. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself to come and the person. What is adoption? When God gives you the authority to sign out what you want and then sign your name to the check, and your name is just as good as his. Right? Ask anything. That doesn't do away with that. Don't think you're doing away with scripture where it says ask anything in my name. That's the scripture the prophet was always using when he's referring to those things. The scripture he used was ask anything in my name. Go check it. Ask anything in my name. You're not doing away with that when you say, God, your word says it, I believe it. That is asking in God's name. That is thus saith the Lord, because he done told you. He done wrote it out where we could read it. But you see, adoption, coming to a position to where sonship is, the prophet called it. Go on to the messages. Hear ye him. Manifested sons and all of those messages. The adoption is the stature of a perfect man. In the stature of a perfect man, the Holy Ghost will come down through Christ's Holy Spirit. In adoption, the Holy Spirit leads you there to the position that not tutor anymore. The headstone's not to tutor. He said, what is this mean? Okay, hold on a minute now. The headstone's not the tutor. The headstone's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that leads you to the tutor. You said, well, okay, hold on. Because when you and God becomes one, you don't need the tutor no more. Exactly. Speaking the revelation of your own faith. Why? Because the headstone is God and you becoming one. And you don't need a tutor when that comes to that place. Now, I didn't say we didn't need an advocate. Because as long as we're in these human bodies, we're going to need an advocate to take our place. Come on, we're not out of the message. But you see, after all of these years coming to a place to where that we can say, my name is just as good on the checkbook as my father's. Brother Dale, we need this, we need that. But my father hasn't told me to sign the check yet. That's not making an excuse. That's a truth. I have stood here and you know it. I have stood here and told you and it has been the truth and happened exactly the way I told it to you. Because that's when he told me. When he told me, I tell you. But until then, I pray just like you pray. You think I wouldn't have wanted to walk up to Richard, my son-in-law, and to say, that cancer's gone, just like that. You think I wouldn't want to have done that? But you'd one thing about it. You let him tell me, and I'll tell you. That's not making excuses. That's telling it like it is. Because you that say that's making excuses, let's see yours. Oh, Brother Dale, you've been hateful now. Let's see your spoken word. How long could we stand here and talk about it? That what God has told us to do. And we come out here and told you. I walked out here that night and said, when they started the bombing in Kuwait, I walked out here and I said, God just revealed to me in the back room back there that if we'll pray that there's no way that they can defeat our forces and they will be totally, they won't be able to fight. And that's exactly what happened. We lost more people on friendly fire of our own. How many of you seen it when I walked out here and tell you, it won't rain until I tell you it'll rain? That, what was it, 1988? Somewhere right along in there. And I walked out here one night, I said, now it'll rain. And I said, this will be the wettest time that you ever seen. And they wrote it in Gainesville that the month of July and August, the rest of that month and the month of August was the wettest month of August that had ever been on record. You say, you're trying to show what you are? No. I'm trying to tell you what he is. I'm trying to tell you the same God can be in you to call for the same thing. And it has done between you. You've done it. You've called for rain. You've called for this. You've called for that water and well, etc. You've called for them. Because you see, I don't try to make anything out of myself. Because the more it's revealed to me, it takes me down instead of taking me up. I realize how sorry I am. But I realize I depend upon the promise of God. He promised me, you preach the truth, I'll back it up. What do you think that means? I'm trying my best to preach it just as well as I can, always have. He said, I'll back it up. And he has. Well, there's so much sickness among you. Look at it. Life about it. That's what I'm telling you. The other day I was thinking, and this thought come to me, so it's all right, I'll just tell you. I said, people are laughing like everything now because Brother Dale's son-in-law has got cancer and having to be operated on. So why don't he just speak the word? He's so great. You dug your own ditch. You dug your own depth. That's what he told me to tell you, and that's what I've just told you. You dug your own ditch when you said that. You said, Brother Dale, you're not calling. No, I'm not calling nothing down on nobody. A Christian don't do that. But a Christian tells it like it is. Just remember, you try to accuse somebody of something, be careful, it'll come back on you. That's why you don't hear me out here making light of nobody. I tell it like it is, as straight as I can, yes. And maybe sometimes too straight. But I try my best to tell it like it is, because I believe if the doctrine is not here, it's coming. And somebody's going to be standing here. Why can't we believe we're the ones? What do we need is proof. I have preached this for over 35 years, close to 40 years, that I've preached this right here. That it will come a time. And I can pull the tapes probably from way on back there over yonder in the trash pile now, but I sure got the good memory about it. And I stood right here and I said, there'll come a time when the prophet said Methodists and Baptists would heal the sick and cast out devils. And I said, there'll come a time when the two soul doctrines, the seven thunders and all those will be having signs and wonders around the world. It is taking place. But I told you this, then there'll come a day when it will stop. That they will not be able to bring on the scene what the bride can bring. Because remember, Janice and Jambres could bring the snakes, the things, but they couldn't take them away. You will see a time come that when they call for it, it won't work, but the bride will still be just going right on down the road. She's not trying to call down fire on nobody. She doesn't have that spirit. She has the spirit of love. The love of the new birth that would love everybody. What does the Bible say? The love of God covers a multitude. Love covers a multitude of sin. Check that word love there. It's the same word for charity. But see, what is adoption? When the children of God are tutored to the place. Just like the stature of a man when it's built up, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Just like it is over in Galatians, where it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, long-suffering. You know, Brother Branham said those same things, compared those things exactly to the stature of a perfect man, of faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. He'd use that to exactly the nine virtues as well, because that's what it is. Church, what are we waiting on? He said, well, you're trying to do it. No, I'm not trying to do nothing. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I've always tried to tell you the truth. I can't heal nobody. Brother Branham couldn't heal nobody. Listen, the Lord Jesus, are you with me? Brother Branham said if the Lord Jesus was standing here tonight in this suit, he could not heal no one. Is that the way he said it? He said, because he's already done it. If you and I could just accept it and believe it, that's the way, only way that I've ever got anything from God, is to where I just get down there and just believe it. I turned over one night to my wife, and she had a real bad infection. I never told her a word, never said a word, just turned over and laid my hands on her. I said, it is gone. The next day she said, I'm perfectly whole. You think I wouldn't want to do that with her knees right now? Would I cry? Would I hear her moan and hurt? But I can't do that till he tells me. He said, put it in the message, Brother Dale. Okay. Brother Brown's wife had a growth. He was out and the sick was being healed. The dead was being raised. Hospital rooms walked out empty, people being healed by the thousands. And his wife sitting there with that tumor. You think he didn't want that gone? But then one day God said, now you say it. And he said it and it was gone. Because, see, my father, he's not dumb enough to give a novice his ring of signet to go out and do with. Because you know what a lot of people would do with me if they had to write from God? They'd zap me to in as quick as it could be. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean it's the truth. But you see, I believe what he said. I believe by his stripes you are healed. But if we just had Brother Branham here that could tell us, thus saith the Lord, this is thus saith the Lord, the Bible says you are healed. Now you tell me that ain't thus saith the Lord. There's something wrong with you. All right. Well, what's wrong with us? Now listen, folks. I thought we were human beings with a little bit of sense. And I hate to say it that way because you think I'm a smart aleck. But who would want to go to India in a monsoon season and call for rain? You know, we don't have them here, but in India they have monsoon seasons that it just rains for half a year. Brother Brandon went down into Macon, or where was it? I guess Macon, Tifton, something. You remember? And he called for rain and it started raining. Well, now, wouldn't it have been something when him got up there and told them folks? Now, folks, I won't tell you. I'm going to pray one prayer and it's going to start raining. Somebody's sitting back there in the back said, look, man, it's been raining 10 inches a day for 3 weeks. No, it's when you dry when you need rain. You got a well full of water, you don't have to call for water. You're perfectly whole. You don't need healing. So you got to be sick to be able to display the attribute of his healer. Last night, just thinking about Danny there. And seeing all that he's been through. Hey, I know. Danny don't mind me saying this. Sometimes it gets on him. And it tires him up a little. Because he's human. You get on your nerves when everything's wrong with you. Especially when your nerves is the problem, because that's the nerves in his ribs and things. You know? But to see him just stay right on. That means something to me. To see him not throw up his hands and just walk away. But to see him just keep on going. Now I'm sure Hope and Jacob and Joyce would say, we've seen Danny when he had some problems. And Danny would say, I've had some problems. Right? But to see him just keep on coming. And we were talking there last night about it. Aaron talking about it, seeing Danny when he come up here, you know, tuck the quotes and go back and pass them out. He didn't have to do that. See him get up here and foot washing. Can't even bend his leg. Struggle and cry to get down to be able to wash somebody's feet. But you see, we don't look at that and think about the love of God. We only look at the love of God to see an instant healing. Brother Brown said an instant healing was nothing like a gradual healing as far as to build your faith. See? We're being tried, folks, because there's greater things coming than what you think. That little thing they passed in 1974 where you can't drive over 25 miles to church with gas at $4 a gallon, what do you think they're fixing to do? Do you realize that would almost end this church? There would be a handful of us within 25 miles. Did you see? I'm not down and out. I'm very happy. I may sound like, you know, because I've always been an optimistic pessimistic, I guess. You know, I guess I've always been both of them. But I just look at things straight. Because my Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. Brother Brown said that headstone one day is going to strike this church to fill every fiber of your being. And you'll go into rapture. But it'll only be to those that can stand it. The rest are going to die and go by the grave before then. What do you think about? Because you see, the day you got born again, that love that come into your heart, it just keeps growing greater and greater. We sing that song, More About Jesus. You know why? Because I just like to know more about Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We make adoption, we make a statue of a perfect man as to something that nobody can reach in a certain one. And over there, and I said it the other day about, you know, sister, I said, Aunt Sudie. I call it like that. You remember? And I said, oh, Aunt Sudie just sitting over there and didn't do that. Went outside and the sister said, I got an Aunt Sudie. Well, I wouldn't. You know. But listen. Sister Susan is the one that done that. So. But listen, folks. Let's don't make it something we can't attain. But let's don't make it something so simple we just fall into. You know that God is pleased to try His children upon the Word. Is that the quote from the prophet? You know, one scripture that always bothered me for a long time is how that God could see the affliction of that body upon Calvary and be satisfied. That bothered me. Maybe it didn't you. But that made God look like a, what is that word, saddest? Is that the word for it? Made God look like He's looking down over something and see it and be happy about it because it's happening. But when I found out that God was living in that flesh, that God was in that flesh paying my price, I could see how that God would be satisfied. Not happy, but satisfied to see a Redeemer. And that's the kind of son God's wanting. The one that can take the bumps and the knocks and the kicks and all and still stand up and say, I'm a child. Come on, Brother Lord. Still say, I'm a child. God don't adopt the children of the devil. He adopts His own children. He doesn't give the tutor to the world. He gives the tutor to His children. He doesn't build the statue of a perfect man into everybody in the world. He only builds it into the body of Christ. God wants His children to, no matter how bad it goes, that they raise their hands and they say, thank You, Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. Doesn't say many are the afflictions of the sinners. Say that of the righteous, but stay. Think on these things and just... 152 in the red book. Anybody has a need? Brother Branham one time said it like this. He said, I may quote the wrong number, but I'll just use the word 1,000. Something like that. I think it was more. I think it was 5. But anyhow, he said, if I prayed for 1,000 people and none of them healed, he said, I'd be back tomorrow night praying for everybody. Because it don't stop it just because it don't work. It's building faith, because that's what we're going to sing. Go ahead, brother. Fear not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadows are sunshine or rain, right? I'm Lord. Lord, I know a ruler for everything and all. Amen. Father, you heard our brother, and you know the desire in his heart. You said if we hunger after righteousness, we shall be filled. So there could not be a hunger if there was not something there that would be calling our brother to a place to where that he wants to be more like you. And Father, just reach down and touch him, and you make a way. Because the desire there, meaning that there is a way already made. And it is through you, Lord. So just speak to our brother and bring him to that place. And Lord, no matter what would be of life, we commit everything into your hands. And we love you. And we thank you that you made the promise and now you'll make it manifest. And Jesus is your name. Anybody else that just have a need? I'm living by faith. And I feel no alarm. Are you? Popping in his neck. He just wants that taken care of, Father. And we believe you. That by your stripes, our brother is healed. We believe your word, and we thank you. Now just touch him and take this away from him, Father. Because we believe you. In Jesus is your name. Just believe it. Just for one time, get everything out of the way. Say, Lord, let me believe. Let me believe when it gets to word that I can't believe. Let me believe. Let me say what you say, Lord. Just let me confess what he says. In Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe, in his sheltering arms. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Sing that last verse unto him before we go. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe, in his sheltering arms. I'm living by faith, and I feel no love. Amen. Just living by faith. Just waiting on him. Just let him take care of everything. Right. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the potter. Mold me and make. That's your desire. After thy will, while I am waiting, you did answer. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Think about it. Master, today, whiter than snow, wash me just now, as in thy breath. What about a man like Brother Branham thinking like this and saying it? He said, Lord, you sured me, you know, like shearing off a sheep, cutting a hair. He said, you sured me off one time. You took my wife away. Took my daughter. And who in the world would say what he said? He said, Lord, sure me again. Hear me again, Lord. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Father, we thank you for tonight, and we love you, and we thank you for your presence with us, and we pray that as we go on our way home, that you'll bless everybody, Lord, that you'll give us all understanding of you and just take care of everybody on the way. Lord, there's many sickness among us, and you promised it. You said you sent your word and healed us, and we believe it. We thank you. We just ask you to deliver all of us from our diseases and sicknesses, and we know that you will because you promised it. And we can be happy then about the way things are going and the wrong of the world, and not happy as to how bad it's doing, but to know that just any moment now, the one that we've served all of our life will step through the portals of glory to receive us unto yourself. And that we can walk off of this earth, Lord, in a shape that will not be of any fashion that mankind has ever comprehended, but to walk into your presence, Father. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Remember the fellowship meeting Saturday?